Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Better Living. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. Today we are talking about financial planning, specifically financial planning for long-term care. In studio with me is Tina Burrell. She's an investment advisor and president of Financial and Estate Planning Services. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Nick.
Well, it's great seeing you again. We met actually at an event for the NeuroFitness Foundation, and we just kind of got to talking. And you mentioned that this was something that you do, and here we are, finally. So, like I said, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure.
This is not something that I have really thought about, but just preparing for this interview, this is something that everyone needs to think about, and they need to start thinking about it earlier as opposed to later. So when you are trying to give people advice about financial planning for long-term care, what are we talking about specifically?
Okay, so what we are talking about is planning ahead for the event that your family members, your loved ones may have, and eventually you may have, which is, if I need help in taking care of myself or my loved ones, how am I going to pay for that? How am I financially going to handle that?
This is something that a lot of people don't want to think about because they don't want to think of themselves in that way. But that is the wrong way to go about this. You have to be realistic.
Absolutely. It's a commonly avoided topic, just like funeral homes.
Right.
Typically, a lot of people wait to what I call is hair on fire planning, which is, oh no, mom or dad is sick and they need help 24/7 and we need help now.
Yeah. So by that point, is there a it's too late area for most people, or is there always something that can be done?
Generally, there's always something that can be done. Unfortunately, the longer you wait, the more stressful it is. And sometimes if there's very little money to work with, obviously the more limits there are.
Sure. And you're saying that, you know, you have kids that are talking to you about their parents. You want to make sure that people are doing this for themselves.
As well.
Don't have to put the burden on their kids or other family members when this stuff happens, especially if it happens fast. You want to be prepped in case anything happens. And that way, even if you're in a tough circumstance, it's going to be as easy as it can be.
Exactly. Just planning ahead like you would for anything else. Hopefully, you know, most people are thinking about having a will or a trust or some type of documents, medical power of attorneys. What if I get sick or what if I go in the hospital for a surgery? Generally, the hospitals will ask you to have what they call an advance directive, which really tells the doctors, hey, if this surgery doesn't go well, what would I want to have happen? So having a medical power of attorney is as important as that. And also having a financial power of attorney, which is known as a general power of attorney, also gives someone the right to make transactions on your behalf. So I also refer people to attorneys to get those documents done on a frequent basis because that's just as important. But all of these planning ahead items keep us from having a lot of stress and a lot of unintentional coincidental things happen later.
I think that you hear a lot of people talk about getting their will done and things like that. I don't hear as much about this. Do you recommend that people get all that stuff done at once? If you're going to do one, you might as well do the rest.
It would be in a perfect world, yes, a great idea. Never happens that way.
Okay.
Most people go through like what I went through 20 years ago. I've been a caregiver for my immediate family for over 20 years. My parents are deceased, but I have taken care of both of my siblings and still am a caregiver for my brother who's 4 years younger than me. He's got a lot of medical problems, heart disabled with diabetes, and has been really out of the workforce since 2006. So I've been pretty much taking care of him since 2009. And, you know, that's a full-time job in itself. So understanding where these caregivers are coming from, I got involved with the Area Agency on Aging many years ago because they were a great help to me 20-plus years ago with my parents in another state. It's one of the best-kept secrets, so we'll give some more information about that in a little bit. But what I have done is went out and facilitated caregiver support groups, much like you hear about with Alzheimer's Association. They have wonderful caregiver support groups, but there's other types of illnesses that may not have much to do with dementia, or it's a different, whole different animal. So knowing what you can do as far as the money side of it, again, alleviates a lot of the stress. So I'd like to talk about what government programs are available and what insurance programs are available, and then just in general, what a person should do to plan ahead financially for these things.
Let's talk about some of these programs. You mentioned that that was how you kind of got into this, that you were a part of a government program in a different state that helped you and your parents out, and that that really kind of got you to see this whole subject in a different light.
Right.
How did you figure out these services yourself?
Well, I, you know, it was a struggle. 20 years ago, I was looking for help for my mother, and 20 years ago, I was 20 years younger. Didn't know as much as I know now. So I had to learn things like the, you know, School of Hard Knocks way.
Sure.
I looked around and found out that Area Agency on Aging, which is nationwide, but it's not necessarily government funded. It's often funded by United Way and other types of nonprofits. They had programs that they helped with caregivers that came out to the house to help keep people in their home. So, again, you know, it's one of those best-kept secrets. They still do have some of these programs, but because of lack of funding, you know, most of the things they have is just good advice and tips. Government funding is generally your Medicare, Medicaid, which are often confused. So, if I may, I'll speak about the difference. Medicare is health insurance. It's the health insurance that most people get when they turn 65. And part of it we pay for, part of it is part of what we've paid into Social Security for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
So Medicare is a Medicare health insurance. It will pay for up to 90 days of long-term care. Now, that being said, Medicare is a underfunded program by the government. So they look at that very hard and they say, if a person is in a rehab facility or a nursing home type facility longer than 20 days, they must have what's called signs of improvements. If they don't have signs of improvement, Medicare will stop paying. Medicare is not going to pay any more than they really
That sounds very subjective.
It's unfortunately the program. I mean, the government's out of money with that program, basically. And so, given an example, one of my clients, he was terminal with cancer. After 20 days, Medicare says there's no signs of improvement to the family. You now have to private pay. Now this is, you know, your financial baby. So then a person, if they have absolutely no money, then Medicaid picks up. State Medicaid does differ a little bit each state.
Mm-hmm.
But in the state of Texas and most states, you're not allowed to have any assets more than $2,000 in any savings account. You're allowed to have your homestead. But if you haven't done some planning ahead of time, Medicaid planning ahead of time, where you might be eligible to keep more of your savings if you have that. Generally, the rule of thumb is it's going to be difficult with an income of more than $2,800, just shy of $3,000 a month for a couple. So if you have one person going in the nursing home and one staying at home, they call that the stay-at-home spouse, and there's some very strict rules about how much that stay-at-home spouse can keep. So that's the other government funding program, Medicaid, that pays for long-term care. And again, being a government program, it's limited because it is low on cash. So, you know, they don't pay as much as if you and I walk in a door of a nursing home. We're going to pay an average rate of $150 a day for a bed or room, as they call a bed. And if you're on Medicaid, the average rate is $98 a day. So you can imagine most nursing homes only have so many of their rooms that are what they call Medicaid friendly.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a roommate. So if you want private room, you're going to have to pay for that on your own. So there's a couple of government programs, but there's a lot of limitations with those. If you're a veteran and you were in the military during active wartime, then they will look at that. And there's a VA program under the Veterans Program that will help pay for some home-based what they call aid in attendance. They will give basically some money to the family based on criteria of when they were in the military and asset. There is asset tests. So, again, if a person has more than $80,000, they're going to have to start looking at how much are they spending on their care. There's some Medicaid planning, some VA planning that can be done ahead of time. But there is one of the best-kept secrets, the VA Aid and Attendant Program, which is sponsored by the Veterans Association. So those are the two main types of government programs. So I tell most folks, you know, if you have assets of more than $150,000, really start looking at what would I want? Would I want more choices than that? Would I want to have, you know, different choices? Maybe I want to go to assisted living. Maybe I want to stay at home. Most people I talk to want to stay at home.
That seems to be the common. Anytime that I have interviewed a group that has anything to do with this stuff, it really is about keeping people in their homes and trying to make them as happy and as healthy as they can be there.
Absolutely. Even, government programs like Medicaid and the VA program, again, try to keep people in their homes because it's less costly in the long run. Obviously, once you get to the point where you need 24/7 care, you can do the math on that at about $15 to $20 an hour for an aide or a non-nurse. You're going to be spending about $14,000 a month for 24/7 care. So it gets expensive real fast. And that's when a person really should be planning on, okay, I have X amount in savings. Maybe I need to buy a long-term care insurance policy to help supplement that, because that's going to take a lot of liability off of your savings. So, you know, I'll use myself for an example. My husband and I have long-term care insurance. I bought it a little bit younger than some people because of my family history, my experience, right? If my parents had had that 20 plus years ago, it would have made my life a lot easier.
Sure.
Right? So that long-term care insurance gives me the choice of having home health care, which is a common benefit of long-term care insurance. So I can pay someone $20 an hour to come into my home and use my policy.
Is that an expensive form of insurance, or is that doable?
It can be expensive. There's lots of different insurance companies used to offer it. It was called a health policy, and it was like health insurance. Premiums could go up. So it did get expensive over the years because of the fact that insurance companies were realizing this long-term care business is going to cost us a bunch of dollars, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The numbers you were throwing out are giving me heart palpitations.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
But
the idea that there is insurance for that, that sounds already like maybe some of the best advice that you're giving out. Just the idea that exists and you can use that and it's going to give you options. And there's nothing better than options.
Exactly. You know, I tell people on a frequent basis, it's like having your car insurance. It's like having your homeowner's insurance. All you're doing is passing that liability off to an insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
So for, you know, pennies on the dollar, you can do that. If you ever have that situation, you sure be glad you have it. If you don't ever use it, the old-fashioned health long-term care, you don't usually get your money back. You don't get your premiums back, just like car insurance, just like homeowners, right? There are some newer types of products out there that are life insurance with long-term care riders or annuities with long-term care riders that make it where you can recuperate some of those premium dollars if you don't ever have to use it.
That's interesting.
So, you know, all of us hope we stay at home. No one has the goal to be in a nursing home. So if we ever, you know, have that situation where we just didn't use it, that money could go to our heirs, or we could maybe cash it in and use it at a late part in our lifetime. But generally, when you buy that long-term care insurance, you hang on to your 99, because that's when you're going to need it,
Yeah. When do you think people should start looking for stuff like that insurance?
Nick, that's a good question. I often encourage people at age 50 to start thinking about it. Depending on your health, you know, you can have one 50-year-old who's running marathons, and you can have another 54-year-old like my brother who's diabetic and insulin dependent and heart patient and in the hospital on a frequent basis. So depending on your health, your overall health, 50 to, you know, 60 is a perfect age range. You do have to be insurable to get that insurance. So it's like health insurance. You got to be healthy or they're just not going to take you.
Would 50 be the across-the-board suggestion you have for when to start planning for long-term care and these things? Is that just a good rule of thumb?
Yes. Most people at that age are starting to think about retirement. And they're looking at their 401ks or their savings, and they're looking at how much they've saved, what, you know, I want to retire in 10 or 15 years. So if you're looking at that retirement picture as a financial advisor, I have to tell people this needs to be part of your retirement plan. If you have to set aside the cost for long-term care by itself, you might have to set aside $1 million. So, you know, if I don't have $1 million, let me think of another way to skin that cat.
After talking to you for only a few minutes, I really started to think about that. How often are people able to just pay for all this stuff when it happens? Because it sounds unbelievably expensive. And I think that even if you have a nice fat bank account, it's going to zap it in an instant. That almost it would be hard to be rich enough to actually handle this stuff on your own without a good plan.
Exactly. If a person has $1 million or more, they could choose to what we call self-insure for this. And then you're just banking against, okay, how long will I need it? If I'm going to need $14,000 a month or, you know, $36,000 a year minimum, you know, it could be...
For one person.
Right, for one person. You could go through $1 million in a few years. But most people, even my wealthier folks that have that kind of money, realize if I can pass this liability on to insurance company, save, preserve my assets, most of those people have heirs or family that they want to pass that family, you know, inheritance down to. So the wealthier folks will take advantage of that long-term care insurance.
The wealthier people are probably some of the only people that really know the ins and outs of this stuff kind of to begin with.
Well, you'd be surprised because over the years, long-term care insurance had a good history of being offered through groups. Like my husband works for American Airlines. They used to offer on a group basis. So you could get into that policy as inexpensive as $50 a month. Lockheed Martin did that. Several big corporations did that, quite a few. But again, the insurance industry figured out that they were losing money on that pretty quick. So it's no longer offered on a group basis. MetLife, your biggest carriers, no longer offer it on a group basis. It's only offered on individual policies. So that means you got to answer 20 medical questions and be healthy. So again, that 50 age is, you know, good start planning for retirement at 50. Include that in your retirement picture. Include long-term care planning as, what if I have that financial train wreck? I want to have a plan for it.
Is it hard to convince people of how important this actually is? Because like you were saying, people at 50, they want to focus on retirement. And when I think of retirement, I think of just, you know, vacations and doing the fun things that you would want to do in retirement, not the real realities of life, which are something might happen to you and you might need medical care and you're not going to be sipping Mai Tais, you're going to be sipping IV bags. So
Is it
kind of tough to make sure that people understand the gravity of this?
It is. It sometimes is amazing to me. I'll work with someone who's been through this with their parents or even a spouse, and they may say, well, I'm just going to wing it. And I'm really then shocked. But people who are serious about their financial planning, they're on board with it because they realize, you know, you can hear a story every day of the week about someone who's had to go through that expense and the stress of, you know, if someone I love or I care about is sick and I got to deal with taking care of them 24 hours a day. A lot of baby boomers have children, then they've got parents and they're trying to do both. That's just very, very stressful. So going through that makes a lot of people realize I need to have a plan so that, you know, I can have the services I would like to have and I'm not a burden on my children.
The stress of this situation is actually the worst part. Would you agree with that
statement? Yes.
Not necessarily that my money is dwindling, catastrophic, of course, but the stress and the emotional impact that this is going to have if you're not prepared, that's really what you're trying to save people from.
Absolutely. I mean, it can take 10 years off your life being a caregiver, you know, and that has been a statistic that's been proven by Alzheimer's Association, Area Agency on Aging. When they do these caregiver support group sessions, that's what that's all about. Because being a caregiver, you'll even hear them say, the caregiver gets sick and dies before the person they were taking care of. So, you know, what if, you know, you don't end up in a nursing home? What if you're at home and you're homebound and or you've broken a hip and you can't get to the doctor, you can't get to the grocery store? Just having that long-term care insurance with that home health care option enables you to hire people to pass that liability on. You don't have to be in need 24/7 to use it. So it's a good thing to have regardless of what if I never end up in a nursing home. You know, statistically, the odds that you last more than 4 to 6 years is what the Area Agency on Aging and most of the insurance companies have come up with. So you won't find too many policies that offer more than a 6-year benefit unless you really pay up for a lifetime benefit, which, again, you won't even find that many of them. But at home care is just as important as in being in a facility care.
Is it becoming more popular to be at home as opposed to going to nursing homes?
Absolutely.
So over the last few years that you've seen a huge rise in that, or retirement homes or nursing homes, are those in decline?
Unfortunately, they're not in a decline because the need is growing. Facilities are popping up everywhere, and you probably see them and you don't even know what they are. They're retirement facilities. They're called assisted living facilities and a lot of memory care facilities because of the number of people who are now being diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia.
I've never even heard that term, a memory facility.
Memory care facilities. So there's 3 levels of care in most facilities. There's the assisted, and they like to call that independent, or there's really independent living. Then there's assisted living. Then there's skilled, which is the nursing. So most of the facilities will have either 1 or 2 of those. Nowadays, it's getting very popular for new facilities being built to have all 3 levels of care so they keep the patient or the customer there throughout their life. Yeah. And that's easier on the patient when you don't have to move them from their surroundings. If they go from totally independent, maybe there's like really nice cottages or apartments, as they call them. They like to call them cottages, apartments. Look like little duplexes.
I've seen those.
Yeah.
They're really nice.
And right.
They seem super easy to maintain and to be a part of, and seems like
a
good option.
And they're very nice because you have a community of people that have activities, things they do together, you know, generally over 55 communities. But then the next level is where you'll have buildings. A lot of times they're high rises now because of land is scarce. And they're assisted living. Each person still has their own apartment. Some have their own kitchen, some don't, depending on, you know, the level of care. And then once you go from assisted, then into either full skilled nursing or memory care, you don't have those apartments. You have a room or like a hospital room. You know, there's no kitchen because obviously those people are not going to be cooking for themselves, or it might not be safe for them to do so. So there's 3 levels of care. And as you can imagine, it does get more expensive with the more care that a person needs. Now, you know, I have tips on when you go shopping for these, how to, you know, look what to look for, put your buyer beware hat on. You know, there's lots of things, lots of tips to look at facilities and when you should go and who you should talk to and the questions you should ask. Some are nowadays very popular that they're buy-ins where you have to give them a big sum of money to buy into that facility. And I generally look at that as, is it going to be something you can get your money back out of? You know, is it, you want to really shop around when you're thinking about doing something like
that. So it's not necessarily a down payment. It's an investment into that facility.
It's a down payment, but you know, it may not be refundable. You may not be able to resell that apartment and get your money back.
Oh.
So you do have to put your buyer beware hat on. And, you know, just for the sake of time, I have a website that you can give out that has some tips, a lot of good tips on it, or people can call me and contact me for, you know, some of that information. Because I help people with this all the time, the distribution side of, okay, now I've saved all this money for retirement. Now I'm in that distribution side of retirement. What's the best way to make my money last my lifetime?
Do you have to talk people out of scams constantly? Is this something that is, really, I mean, is this something that, this is something that, I know for a fact, this is something that definitely affects this age group, people that are aging. They can sometimes be approached with scams. How often do you have to really kind of grab people by the shoulders and say, this is not a good idea, you need to do this?
Well, fortunately, this industry is not been ridden with the scams that you hear about out there in the real world with seniors. Now, seniors have been a huge target, so much so that there's a lot of organizations that govern and look over and oversee and look at for senior scams. But, you know, I have one story that is a lady that was basically in her home and really needed to be in a memory care facility. And, you know, the folks that buy houses and flip them had approached her, and they were actually on the up and up. I checked them out. They were going to buy her house from her and remodel it, and she needed to go into memory care, so it was kind of actually a good thing. But what had been happening for the last few years is She'd been talking to some guy on the phone who had convinced her that once she got her house sold, to give him all of her money, and he would have an apartment and a brand new car sitting and waiting for her somewhere that she wanted to be, where her nieces were. So, you know, there's other telephone scams that are the bad part. And, you know, these people got a hold of her somehow and milked her for $400 here, $500 there. And she was ready to give them all of her house money, thinking they had a nice apartment and car sitting in California waiting for her. So that's where people really get in trouble.
Telephone. But you were able to get to her in time and make sure this didn't happen?
Me and some of her mutual friends, you know, we saved the day.
We're running out of time on the interview, and I did not want to end in that. I was like, please don't lady lost all her money.
No, we saved her, and she's in a nice memory care facility that takes very good care of her.
Excellent.
So, you know, it's goes back to church groups. I speak at church groups. Everybody hopefully has someone that's kind of watching out for them, but you know, the insurance is a good way to prevent people from feeling desperate enough to be in that situation.
This seems like, it really does seem like the best tip. Is there an insurance, so insurance companies kind of got hip to what was going on and they have changed the way that they do business. Are there any insurance things going on right now that you would tell people to jump on or really be a part of?
Well, I mean, there's a good chance that the traditional long-term care, health long-term care, as we know it, will go away. It's just already becoming so unaffordable. And I think that people need to plan more for saving on their own and, you know, getting some plan in place if they can, you know, if they're over 50, start looking at that. I don't encourage under 50 people to do it very often because of the fact that unless they're doing something that couples with a retirement plan. So, you know, each person is different, but if under 50, I find most people are still trying to save for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a person by person, case, you know, case by case basis. But generally that rule of 50 plus is good because people under 50 need to be funding long-term disability insurance. So what if I get disabled? And then over 50, I kind of push the long-term care insurance umbrella. But again, as long as it's part of your overall financial planning for retirement, I don't care if you're 20, 40, or 50, you know, you got that big picture, you got that in your mind that this part of money is going to be earmarked for this type of insurance or plan, because honestly, the government plans may not be here in a few years.
All right. Real quick before we start wrapping up, the idea of changing plans midstream, is it your advice to have somebody that is coming into this and trying to develop this plan, make sure that whatever plan you make, you need to stick to it because it's probably going to be the absolute best option for you? Or do you tell people to be kind of open and always weighing their options on how they can go about this?
Generally, if someone has already purchased a long-term care insurance, I will never tell them to get rid of it because you cannot repurchase it for the same price you bought it for before. The rates have gone up that much. I've seen 45 to 65% rate increases over the last 10 years.
10 years?
Yes. But if they've made a poor decision on the plan, that's more rare. But, you know, again, have a plan ahead, think ahead, and, you know, have all your legal documents in order because of the fact that, you know, no one plans for these things to happen.
Great advice. This is so important to talk about this stuff. And we've got a bunch of different places where you can find out more information about this. One of the websites you gave me is familycaregiversonline.net. You're going to be able to find a lot of information about this. You can also call 211 to get more information about that. Of course, you work with Family and Estate Planning Services. You can give them a call at 817-424-5721 or find them online at familyandestateplanning.com. I've been speaking with Tina Burrell. She's an investment advisor and president of Financial and Estate Planning Services. Thank you again.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.